Hey, what's up? I am your host, Alex D'Alessio, and welcome to the Real Life Renovation Podcast. If you're looking to get your hands dirty and do it yourself in your home, then this is the go-to DIY and home renovation community just for you. I invite you to join us each week as I chat with some of your favorite DIY creators to discuss all that goes into their DIY journey and the renovation projects that they've accomplished in their homes and how you can achieve similar results in your home. If you have zero experience like I did when I started, then there's no better community for you to gain the knowledge, confidence, and inspiration to release your inner badass upon every corner of your home. So let's pick up that hammer, have some fun, and nail your home renovations together. Welcome to the Real Life Renovation Podcast. This is episode 7, and today I am with the lovely Liz Morrow. You can find her at liz.morrow on Instagram or at liz.morrow.diy on TikTok. And you might know her. She is the infamous host of the DIY Awards. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And don't worry, we will touch more on it. It is like one of the coolest things I've seen on this entire platform. Liz actually grew up in Alaska, which is really crazy. She has some fun stories I'm going to make her get into, especially the one where her first real job was commercial fishing. Definitely making her touch on that. But she now lives in Tacoma, Washington, so she is stateside. She has a lot of experience. She started as a graphic designer, lifestyle blogger, even wedding photographer, and has her bachelor's in digital art and printmaking. So it's safe to say that she is well-experienced across the board in DIY, design, all of that. So I'm really excited to have her here. And with that said, the first question, as always, Liz, if you were to have a TV show on HGTV, what would the name of it be and why?
So I literally woke up at 4 in the morning, which is extremely out of character. And I like wake up. I'm like, why am I awake? What is happening? I'm laying there and I'm like, I need to think of the name of my HGTV show. And I lay there for like 30 minutes and I could not come up with the name of it. But I know what it would be about. So obviously you mentioned that I am from Alaska and I would like to return to Alaska at some point. My parents just moved back this past year. They bought a house in Alaska again. And so I would love to buy a fixer-upper, obviously, and have people from, you know, our DIY community on Instagram, online, come up and help with the renovations and then be able to kind of take them on adventures in Alaska and kind of show them, you know, why I love the state and just all of the amazing things that you can do up there, fishing, yeah, you know, flight seeing, hiking, kayaking, all that kind of good stuff. So that would be the show. I don't know what it would be called yet.
That would be so cool because I feel like for at least for me, stateside, especially on the East Coast, Alaska is so like it's kind of like a mystery. Like, of course, I know whale watching. I know, you know, all the wilderness aspects. But to be honest, like I would be so interested in just seeing like the nitty and gritty of Alaska, all there is to see, and then DIYing in kind of an environment like that where you might not have a lot of sunlight. I know that like during the winter, what is it like? You only have like, I want to say like 5 or 6 hours. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
On
yeah. On the shortest day of the year. And depending on where you live too. So I grew up in South Central Alaska. And so okay. I remember going to school in the morning in the dark. And when you came home from school, the sun was already setting. But if you're getting up into, you know, North Slope, you know, you don't have sun. You don't actually have like a sunrise for I don't even know how many days it is a year. But yeah, there's a period of time where there's no sun.
That's just going to make life so difficult across like literally every aspect.
I never minded it. But the thing that's really cool is in the summer, the sun is up for it never really gets dark. So as a night owl, I always really love that.
I saw that like. Because you have to get like the blackout curtains because it doesn't really get truly dark. I just find that so interesting. And like, I feel like it would mess up my circadian rhythm so much. But I guess you get used to it if you're born into it.
I mean, maybe. I'm definitely a night owl and I have a hard time falling asleep. So maybe it did mess with me.
That's awesome, though. So I have to ask about your job as a commercial fisher. I think that is like the coolest thing. You have to give me the spiel on that.
So my family on my dad's side is from Alaska. My dad, my grandpa commercial fished his whole life from when he was a kid all the way till he retired. And so then his sons took over commercial fishing. And so my uncle was the one who kind of, my dad ended up having a different career. And so my uncle was the one who was our, like, the commercial fisherman in our family. And so I, when I was in high school, I believe it was two seasons, two summers, I went up and fished with him on his boat in Bristol Bay. So yeah, that was definitely, as far as first jobs go, it's like, oh, everything feels like pretty easy from here on out.
Yes, seriously. I mean, I know it's a little bit different, but me and Kylie were always like the biggest fans of Deadliest Catch growing up. And just, I know it's completely different being commercial fisherman, probably not on the open seas where it's just crazy trying to catch snow crabs. But
yeah,
it's definitely no joke. And coming from someone where their first job was working in a local pizza joint, vastly different, I can say that. So how do you think your life living in Alaska and all the extremes and kind of the different lifestyle compared to, you know, even Tacoma, Washington, how do you think that shaped you in terms of, you know, your DIY journey or honestly the rest of your journey? Because it's all so much in the DIY creator space, like even from being a wedding photographer, like learning photography, graphic design, all of it. I feel like it just made you like the perfect, well-rounded creator. It's just so, it's so crazy and cool to see your journey.
Yeah, I really loved growing up in Alaska. And it's one of the reasons that I want to make it back there, because now having my son, like I would love for him to have, you know, something of that same experience. But yeah, I feel like Alaska is, when you're living there, you kind of just have this sense of independence because, you know, you don't necessarily have all the same resources that you do in the lower 48, depending on where you're living. You know, you might have big box stores, you might live far away from people. I grew up in the biggest city, so I did have, you know, access to a lot of resources and stuff. But, you know, it's still kind of the general vibe of like the people that live there. They're very independent. They're very, you know, let me do my thing, I'll let you do your thing, kind of. It's very libertarian. So, I don't know. And having my dad grow up there, and so he was a big part of like my DIY journey, and he was always working on every single house that we ever lived in, renovating every house we lived in, whether it was like a full bathroom remodel or kitchen remodel, literally every single house that we ever lived in was worked on at some point. And so I was always around that process and watching it. And one of my favorite things growing up was being his kind of like little helper. So I was always by his side and handing him tools. And my mom was also creative. She was a graphic designer and writer before she had kids. And then we took over her life. So she was always the one who was doing kind of the creative aspect of like space planning and doing the painting. And so I was helping her with that and watching her do that. So, I feel like I just got like this education in home renovation and DIY just from watching them do it and being a part of it. And then I don't know what it is about me that just like doesn't really want to work for other people.
But I resonate with that.
Yeah, something about that made me like you were saying, like, oh, you're like a graphic designer and a wedding photographer and all these things. And it's like, I was all those things because one, they were creative and I'm a creative person. But it's also that I was able to work for myself. And so I could set my own hours. I could, you know, pick the clients I wanted to work with.
Yeah.
It kind of stems from A, wanting to be creative, and B, wanting to have the freedom and control over my own life and not having to like go into a 9-to-5.
No, trust me, I get it. It's so liberating because that's what I did in my first 2 years out of college. And then I quit back in October to kind of pursue this full time, just like being in the DIY space, because it's just like to be able to set your own hours. And of course, it's not for everyone, because it's risky. It's not, it's the exact opposite of safe. Like there's no, like if you're good at what you do, you'll make more money probably than a 9-to-5, but there's also the flip, like the other side of the coin where if you don't do well or the economy or whatever, not even just what we do, but like in anything, when you start your own business, which is exactly what a DI creator is. Yeah. And I've, a lot of people from the outside looking in don't realize how much goes into it. And like, I was just poking around like your website, all the stuff that you've done. And I don't know if you created it yourself, but it is so professional. Did you create it yourself?
Yeah. And you know, the perks of having all these seemingly random past lives of like a graphic designer and a photographer, it's like, oh, this is all like really useful as like a content creator.
100%. It's funny how the little things for me personally. So I actually got really, I won't say really good, but I got pretty solid at Photoshop, and people ask me how is it? And I don't do much anymore, but I'll make edits for other people. And they're like, how did you get to do that? And I was like, when I was in college, I worked for the basketball team and the coaching staff would want me to make graphics for their recruits. Like, oh, can you put a Maryland jersey on this recruit? And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll YouTube it. And then I got really good at Photoshop and making like clean graphics that aren't clustered. And then I had to start making video like highlights for our recruits and our players. So I got good at video editing. And now if you would have told me that it would have been me editing videos of me DIYing my home, I would have called you crazy. But that's exactly what it turned out to be, you know? And it's just so funny. So like on that, so you started, where did you start, graphic design or wedding photographer? It was kind of mishmash.
So I graduated with a degree in printmaking and digital art. So I went directly into graphic design. And then kind of at the end of my college years, I started my blog, which at the time was a fashion blog. So I was taking pictures of my outfits every day, posting them on the blog.
And that was way, but you said like 08, I think it's from
2008. What, yep.
So you're really like... That's impressive. No, so it you've learned so much. I feel like there's so much to learn. That's why your stuff looks so polished, honestly.
So throughout all of like my other, you know, jobs as like a graphic designer, I went into blog design for a while. So I was designing other people's blogs. But throughout all of that, I was also blogging. So that was kind of like the constant throughout it. But yeah, I went from graphic design, and then wedding photography. And then after I had my son, for some reason, I was just like so done with wedding photography. And I don't know if it's like you have a kid and you're just like, I'm over people being like in love. And like when I have to like go home and change like a bajillion diapers, like, that's great that you're two single people in love. That's great. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And so I think at that time, I was kind of feeling this need for a pivot. And also I knew that I really loved working on homes. We had bought our first house in 2012. So we had owned that house for a few years at that point. And I knew that I had wanted to do some work on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pivot. I'm going to pivot real hard. I'm not going to take any more wedding, like this whole business that I built, like, on wedding photography. I'm like, nope, burn it to the ground. We're going to do something different now. So I started doing interior design and working on my own house and sharing that as a, you know, content creator, Instagram. And then I'm for it. I'm like, yes, this is where I was supposed to be. Like weddings, that's fine. That's pretty. But like, I love it here because not only is it something that I love doing and something that I'm really passionate about, but it also, I love the aspect of it, especially in the community that I'm a part of with, it's 95% women. It's like, I follow like you and Kyle.
Yeah, me and Kyle were literally laughing about it. Like, yeah, I don't like remember if it was on podcast or off air, but we were like, we are like such the minority, which we like, I'm applauding all the amazing women. You guys are all badasses. Like it
is, and that's like what I love about it. It's like women. It's a space that I really love being able to empower the women and giving them the encouragement and the inspiration, but also like the education. Because I know a lot of women didn't grow up with like how I grew up with my dad, like watching him and learning from, you know, just being able to see what he was doing and him telling me what he was doing. So being able to kind of be everybody's like DIY dad that they've never had is kind of what I love about being in this space.
Yeah, I'm sure you get tons of messages, and I'll get tons of messages, whether it be from women or just inexperienced people. Kind of like, I'm fairly young to just do a house. Like, I'm 26. So I'll have people around my age be like, this is kind of crazy. Did you have a dad or mom or someone teach you? I was like, no. And I always tell them the same things. And I've said it on the podcast before. Like, I am not special in any way, shape, or form. Like, if you are really interested in doing it, and you have, you know, two hands and 10 fingers, like, I promise you, you can do this. You don't even need 10 fingers. You probably need two hands. You can get away with like out a pinky or something. But if you have the like basics and the actual hunger to do the correct research and build your confidence up, you'd be amazed at what you can do. And I think it's just like, I applaud like seeing people like you that are really just embracing the woman aspect of it and helping others, you know, see the light that, you know, women are just as capable, if not more capable. Like Kylie, my wife, is so much more naturally handy than me. It's not even funny when I tell people that. They're like, no, no, no. I'm like, yes. Like, she, her dad growing up was, you know, always doing stuff. She was kind of around like you. She never actually got in the nitty and gritty of it, but we laugh whenever there's like a skill and we both are trying it out, like whether it be drywall mudding or like cutting in on paint lines. She'll pick it up like that, even though I've watched hours of YouTube videos. I'll like show her what I've learned and she'll be like, oh, and then just bam. I'm like, what the hell?
And it's just that attention to detail, us ladies.
Yeah, but like literally any, I don't think there's any like task that I have been naturally better from the get-go at. Once I kind of explain the technique, she picks it up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, even she'll catch all my little mistakes too. Like, I have an engineering degree, she has a teacher degree, but she'll pick up, I should be able to good at the math and not mess up measurements. But she's like, oh, you're not accounting for this in the shower curb or the fact that there's going to be drywall there. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it is fun because I think, you know, for so long women have just been told that they're not good at these kinds of things, and that just that line has been repeated over and over again, and to the point where I think both men and women started to believe it, and it's like, no, that's not accurate. Yeah. whatsoever. Like, there's literally nothing about doing what we do that has like gender has any bearing on whatsoever.
Literally nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. And that's what's so crazy about it. So it, me and Kyle were laughing about it, but then like, because it is funny how, because we're like, we're, I think it's me, him, there's a few others, I don't want to miss anyone, like Dawson, like my friend Andrew, Philip or Flop, obviously you probably know, but there isn't much. And like, the woman are rightfully taking over and doing an amazing job, and it's been really fun to watch. So many of the people that follow me are women, and you know, they're showing me their projects, and they might not be full-time content creators or even post, but like the stuff that they're doing, they're, you know, our one friend that I actually met through Kyle, Penny, like they're, you know, replacing all of their windows and things like that. And I'm like, personally, I don't want to touch anything that leaves an open hole in my house for any moment of time in case I mess something up, and now I have an open hole in my house. But she showed me the before and after, and it's just insane.
Yeah. I'm really excited, and I think that maybe the beginning of the pandemic played into kind of this resurgence of women in this space of like, all right, well, here we are, I'm at home and I got time on my hands. Let's do this, you know? So it's been fun seeing the kind of wave of women being more, because I'm sure women have been doing it for a long time, but I think the, in terms of like the content creation side of it, you're seeing a lot more women posting online and, you know, creating these businesses around the content that they're posting. And it's just kind of this cool snowball of, you know, the more women we see doing it, the more the women who maybe don't feel capable can kind of stop for a second and be like, I could probably do that, you know, or just making things feel more approachable. Because, and I just went to WorkbenchCon at the end of February. And it was really interesting because it was, you know, it's, you know, woodworking kind of focused, but also, you know, home renovation. There's a lot of overlap there. Yeah. And so there was a lot, there was a big group of us women that went, a lot of us knew each other, and, but it was a lot of dudes. Yeah. And so it was really interesting to be in a space because I'm so kind of in the trenches of like me and my ladies. And so it was really interesting kind of feeling that male energy and seeing kind of like how men teach and how men approach that. And it was interesting. I think I prefer the way that most women that I've come across present the information or teach. And I think it's because you don't feel talked down to.
Yeah.
And I know that not all men obviously talk down to women or, you know, in the way that they, obviously you and Kyle are a great example of that. But like, it was really interesting being in these sessions where it was men talking and men teaching. And I was like, you're making me feel not that great.
Yeah.
and just like the way that you're presenting the information, like the information itself is great, but like, I wish that you weren't so like condescending or yeah. I don't know. It was just really weird.
It's like a power struggle type thing where it's like 100%. And I've, you know, I'm trying to make my style as much. I'm very open and honest about not knowing everything. So I make mine very much, or at least try to, taking you along the journey of my stupid thoughts that I have along the way and all the failures that I make. So it's very, honestly, I learn more from the people in my DMs than I do YouTubing. They'll catch stuff. I've had a couple of people catch stuff today already just from like trying to wire up a GFCI outlet. They're like, they're like, yo, you should be doing this. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I saw you yesterday with your like, should have used the plastic boxes because the metal ones, you have to grab and all this stuff.
And then I tried to wire that up today. I just posted like a story an hour ago and I got it all wired up and then it didn't fit inside the smaller metal box. And I researched it and it was like, yeah, you're supposed to, for this many wires and this 12 gauge wire, you're supposed to have this many cubic inches of box. And I was like half of it. And I was like, whatever. So I have luckily have Ace Hardware like 3 blocks away. So I just walked to it and paid $3 and got the bigger plastic ones. And I'm like, I should have done this a long time ago. Would have saved myself a lot more work. But there's definitely a level of stubbornness, I think, to every DIYer where there is a breaking point of where you will admit you're wrong and you'll take the next step of driving Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever, getting the actual right material and coming back.
Yeah.
But there's a different level to everybody. For me, it takes a lot. Like I will do anything in my power to use whatever I have in my, you know, in my hands whenever and figuring it out. And many times that can lead to injury or failure.
Yeah. It's that thing of like, you just want to make it work. You're like anything to not have to retool this thing that I've just put so many hours into.
Exactly. And it even goes to stupid things like, I don't even know why I get in my head about stuff like this, but if I grab a screwdriver and it's not the correct screwdriver but the other one is like upstairs and I know where it is, I will spend 3 minutes trying to make this flathead work in a Phillips head or whatever before the 10 seconds it would take me to get the right one and the other 15 seconds it would take me to finish the job. And that, I think it helps me in the sense that when I actually have real problems, I'm like focused on it and I will figure it out. But it also hinders me at the same time because I won't pivot as much as I should.
Yeah. Yep. I've been there.
Yeah. I feel like everyone relates to that. So I also want to touch on, because you've mentioned the business of all these like women creating these great businesses around it. People don't realize how much goes into creator. I see someone like yourself that has it all. Like, you have an amazing apparel line. Go check her out. What's the official website name? Just so I can plug it.
LizMoreauStudios.com.
LizMoreauStudios.com. Go check out our apparel. It's really cool. Let's DIY the damn thing, I think, is on one of the shirts. You're wearing it right now. Yes. Go get it. all of the stuff looks amazing. She's showing me a mug right now. She's got it all. Amazing sayings, everything. So go check that out. But you have that. You have obviously Instagram, you have TikTok, you have a website, a blog. So I'm so interested. And obviously you have all of the intricate parts of being a great photographer and editor and graphic designer. So I guess touch on the entrepreneurship part of being a creator and kind of how you've been enjoying it, the things that you've liked, haven't liked, things like that.
Yeah, I feel like I got into it at like ground zero because when I started blogging, literally nobody knew what that even was. Like you had to like describe it to someone and then they were still a little bit confused.
Yeah.
And so when I started blogging and I was fashion blogging, it was really interesting because we started to get these clothing brands who were like, can I send you clothes and you can wear it and post it on your blog. Instagram did not exist back then. and so it was like the beginnings of the, this influencer, which that word didn't exist either, like the beginning of this influencer marketing. And so I've just been, in it for so long that it just feels very normal to me. I think people who are getting into it now still are kind of getting used to the idea of like, oh, I am this tool or this avenue that businesses find value in and want to market their products through. And so I think that I like that aspect of it because, you're already telling your friends about the stuff that you're using. And so it feels like a natural way for marketing to happen, even from like the brand side of it. Like mm-hmm. as a brand, like the best thing that you want is word of mouth. And so I think that's kind of what content creators, influencers are doing is it's word of mouth marketing. And the cool thing about being your own boss and being an entrepreneur is that you get to choose who you get to work with. So it's like, you don't have to work with a brand whose values don't align with you and you don't have to, market a product that you don't like. So again, maybe that's just my controlling self.
No, I agree 100%.
Having control over, but I mean, when it comes to like you, because you're the brand, like you are your business.
Yeah.
So it does matter who you work with because that reflects on you. And so being able to set boundaries and control who you're working with, what brands you're working with, I think that's super important and something that like, especially people who are just getting into it really need to consider and kind of sit down and think about like, what are my values and what is, the things that I want to make sure come across when I'm doing work with brands. Like, you don't want to work with a brand that like all, is really shiesty and then people are like, oh, well, this person like will work with anybody to get, a buck. And it's
exactly.
Like, so I think that that's really important for newer creators. I mean, I've been in it so long that I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm sure I'll make more mistakes, but it's like the realization of like, oh, I like signed a contract with a brand and now I'm like getting bad vibes, but I signed this contract. So
yeah, no, yeah. I'm learning a lot along the way too. And for any creators new out there, you'll get so many emails for free product. I've got a DM today of someone wanting to send me a kitchen faucet that was probably like $70. And they didn't mention anything. And I was like, hey, is this a free product exchange or is this paid collaboration? Unfortunately, I don't do free product exchange. And I gave them like my starting rate. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, this is only for free product. Are you still interested? And it's just like, it's so frustrating when you see, and it's not only, some people just assume it'll be, only these like one-off little Amazon brands, but you'd be surprised at some of the brands that will expect you to move a mountain for them for exposure on their social media channels. Yeah, you went through a rant the other day.
You're my close friends.
Yeah. And I was like laughing, but at the same time, equally pissed. And it was just like, I think we've all had those experiences. And it's like, are you serious?
Yeah. And I think that comes down to us as creators valuing ourselves and our work, because as long as people keep saying yes, they're going to keep asking, because the one, you know, they're going to get however many no's, but the one yes is worth it enough to them to keep bombarding people's inboxes with these honestly insulting offers.
Yeah.
Opportunities. It's like, I'm sorry. You're asking me to do thousands of dollars of work for a product that's, you know, not worth that.
I know. And then, you know, I think in their mind, they're like, oh, this amount of money isn't worth, all you have to do is like one video post. It's like, no, you're not paying me for just the time it takes me to do that. Like, it's kind of like, you're also paying me for the time it took me to get to the audience to the point where you can sell it. And all the time I'm doing organic stuff, because that's what brought me the audience and is going to bring you the audience. Mm-hmm. It's not the fact that it'll take me 2-3 hours to shoot and edit a video. I understand that you're probably like, oh my God, that on an hourly rate is ridiculous. But that's not, you know, that's not all that goes into it. It's every day showing up, showing that your followers and your audience, that you actually care about them and want to help them. That's what the brand is tapping into. And the reason why, if they work with you, it'll be a success. And
well,
it's like,
and you think about too, like what you're talking about, you know, the years I've spent building an audience, a community, but also if you have to shoot, if you're a brand and you have to shoot an ad, even a 30-second ad or content piece, you're having to hire a photographer, or a videographer, you're having to hire a set design, you're having to hire the actors, you're having to hire, you know, all of these individual pieces. And I am the full package. Like, I'm offering you every single one of those services. I'm the videographer. I am the talent. I am the set designer. You don't have to pay for all of that, but you do have to pay for me.
Yeah. It's like, you're worried about the lighting. You're doing the audio. You're doing a voiceover. You're doing potentially adding music and syncing it up. All these cuts. It's a lot. And it really frustrates me. And I know you went on like a 3-minute rant and it was amazing because it needs to be said. And any creators, whether you have a smaller following or you have millions of followers, whatever, it's the same. Know your worth. You can, free product exchanges aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a bad thing when it doesn't align with the value that you feel like you are giving off, and other companies have valued it similarly. So
I mean, I think a couple of us got this same email, and it was somebody who, I don't even remember what company it was or what they were asking for, but I had sent my rates over, and then I knew that the rates were not gonna bite. But then some other dude in this PR marketing company or whatever, it wasn't directly from the brand. It was like their PR company that was trying to hire an influencer. This other dude who had not previously been in our, you know, the email exchange comes in and he goes, what brands are paying you that much? Cause I would love to work with them. It's like, I am not going to respond to this. Cause like, first of all, it's low key insulting. Like, yeah, who even is paying you this much? But it's also like, I'm not going to tell you the brand because I don't, first of all, they've already got their, you know, marketing company all set. They're good to go. Like, they don't need you to come in and insult their creators for their rates. Like, it was really weird.
It's the wild, wild west out there. There's no doubt about it.
It's pretty wild. And I think a lot of us are trying to talk about it more to be able to standardize things and be able to, you know, let creators know that they have value and that they should be charging for their services. And I mean, even if you're not doing this as a job, brands will still come into people's comments and be like, oh, we would love to use your photo if you agree to the terms at this URL, just reply with hashtag OMGYes or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And what people do not realize is that the link that they're linking to is going, it's basically a contract of, hey, we now get rights to this content to use across any, you know, we could use it on our website. We can use it on our print marketing. We can use it on our social media. We can edit it.
And make money from it.
And make money from it for in perpetuity. So forever. Like you've just handed over the rights to this photo forever. And I think that people just need to know what they're saying yes to, because they just don't. People just say like, oh, that's so awesome. Like my favorite brand wants to share me on their feed. That's exciting. Which it is exciting, but they're also doing it in a shady way where they're like, say yes to the terms and services. But no one's going to click on that link because, first of all, it's not clickable in an Instagram comment. So you would have to like look at it and then type it out to even go and see what the terms are.
Yeah, it's so cringy.
It makes me so annoying.
I do think that we're reaching a turning point where the creator side has kind of battled back and created, you know, whether it's close friend story or I've seen blog posts that are very open about stuff and kind of helping this side of it, because the brands are very sneaky.
Yep.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But we all learn. And one of the things that in terms of DIY creators, I think is the coolest thing that we have to touch on is the DIY awards. I think that is the coolest thing ever. So tell the listeners a little bit about it and how it came to be what it is.
So the DIY Awards is an annual awards that celebrates women in the DIY community on social media. And it started because I am an Enneagram 3 and I love trophies. And so I had this random idea in December, November of 2020. And I was like, what if I just like made some awards? And I think it was because I had found a hammer when I was on a walk with my son in an alley. And so I had this like random hammer. And I was like, what if I like painted it gold and like attached it to a base and made it into a trophy and gave it away to somebody? Like, it'd be so cute. And so it just like exploded from there, where then I created, I think in the first year we had six awards total. So I like just dug around in my garage and found like an old saw blade, and there was the hammer and what else? I don't even remember what it was that first year. A speed square. I spray painted the little Christmas village Home Depot they make one every year. So I did that. The like overall DIY award was I spray painted Christmas Village Home Depot spray painted gold.
That's so funny.
It was really fun because like it's all community submitted. So I don't nominate anybody. It's all the community submits. my dog, I don't know. I put her in her kennel because you can cut this out. I put her in her kennel just so that she would shut up, but she's just whining this whole time. Like, are you okay? What's happening? Okay. So the DIY Awards is all community submitted. People submit nominations. It's all anonymous, if that matters. But so people can submit their favorite DIYers. And then from there, the top five in each category goes on to the voting period. And then everybody in the community votes. And then we do an award ceremony, which the past 2 years have been on Instagram Live. But this next year, and I apparently now every year I have to create a DIY dress.
That was so funny.
Out of stuff that I find in my garage. So the first year I made it out of like plastic drop cloth and like contractor trash bags and duct tape. And then this year I did it out of, I made a corset out of a Home Depot bucket.
It was so good. Any listener, please go check it out. It's on our Instagram. It's so funny.
And so next year, hopefully, you know, the pandemic situation is a little bit more handled.
Yeah.
But so this next January, I want to do an in-person award ceremony, kind of like the Oscars for DIYers. maybe we can get some sponsors on board. We can do, instead of a red carpet, we can do an orange carpet, Home Depot. Ooh,
plug.
sponsor us. And yeah, I think it would just be really fun to have, you know, an in-person event where people can come, get fancy, have fun, maybe, you know, just meet your other favorite DIYers, have an opportunity. Because some people, you know, you can go to conferences and stuff, but just being able to come and celebrate. And I think that's something that a lot of people maybe needed in the past few years, you know, just something fun and celebrating the community, and especially celebrating women in an industry that has been male dominated, and just giving recognition to the ladies.
I think that'll be really cool, especially to do it in person. And I'm sure you'll be able to get sponsors, because you have so much talent and just vibes in the building that, and all very niche and DIY, obviously. So I could totally see you getting very similar sponsors as like Haven or something like that.
Yeah, I would love to. And we're actually I partnered with Haven to be able to give the winner of the overall DIY Queen Award this year. She won also a ticket to Haven. So I will be presenting her award at Haven wearing my Home Depot bucket.
Are you going to bring it?
I'm going to bring it. I was like, I have to though, right? Like I kind of have to. Like,
yeah. That's going to be so funny. I actually just bought my ticket this morning. If anyone doesn't know what Haven is, I didn't know until this past month. But it's like a conference in July 21st to the 24th in Atlanta, Georgia. It's basically where a bunch of DIY creators are able to get together. No matter your following, anyone is welcome. And you just kind of have a bunch of discussions / events, speakers from the DIY space, from the brand space, like Home Depot, I think sponsors it, Ryobi, a couple others. And from what I've seen, did you go last year? It looks so cool.
It was really fun. And I think, you know, part of it, for me, I love the aspect of being able to get that face-to-face time with the brands and actually, you know, meet the people who you're talking to in the emails, and make, you know, new connections with new brands. But also, it's just really wonderful to be able to hang out with the people that you're friends with online, because like so many of us don't live like anywhere near each other.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's kind of the one opportunity that people have to congregate in one space and be able to like go out to dinner and just have that face-to-face community time and really make those friendships. And I think that those are really important, especially because I know for me, like, I don't really know anybody in my like real life friend circle who does what I do, you
Same
know?
Here.
Like,
yeah.
So when you're complaining about like, oh, this brand contacted me and they wanted me to do something for a faucet, you know, and they were like, sounds like a bummer, I guess, you know, but like you're friends, you know what you're, what that's like, you know, you can talk to them on a different level. And so it's really fun to be able to communicate and talk the same language with people.
100%. Yeah, I'm really excited just to learn from everyone, the speakers, just, you know, everyone else that'll be there like myself. I think it'd be really cool. So if you're listening, again, there's zero follower count. From what I understand, there's zero follow account like that you need to attend. Anyone and everyone, whether you're looking to get into DIY, whether you already started the account, you're looking to find how to grow it, you're looking to get in contact with cool brands, literally everything. So I haven't been, but I'm really excited. And a bunch of creators that I follow, and I think a few that I've had on this podcast already have gone. I know Kyle went last year. So definitely go check it out. We'll plug them. I'll have to send this clip to Haven. Quick.
Oh yeah. They're pushing hard right now because they just opened their ticket sales.
End of March, it'll jump up $100. I think it's around $480 currently.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely check it out. And they have hotel accommodations, that'll be cheaper as well at the hotel. So check that out. But yeah, without further ado, I want to go into the quick fire round, and then we'll be finished. All right, I already know the answer to this one for you: Lowe's or Home Depot?
Home Depot.
Okay. fair enough. I recently just became a Home Depot supporter. Everyone knows I've been repping Lowe's for so long, but they screwed me one too many times recently. I know. I'm very fluid still. I'm not hard set, but for the time being, Home Depot's has been there for me the last month when I needed them, where Lowe's has not. So, all right, next question. DIY your own house or interior design for a client?
Oh, DIY my own house all the way.
I stopped
taking clients for the most part. It's just really hard for me to deal with the anxiety of like the back and forth between like I send a design and then they send edits, or for whatever reason, my anxiety just like goes super high when I'm dealing with clients. I'm like, you know what? You don't have to do that. Whatever the voice in your head is that's telling you that you need to work with clients and do interior design professionally, you don't need to. That's a mysterious voice that comes from nowhere. Just do what makes you happy, which is DIYing my own house.
Love it. I love it. Honestly, they would give me a lot of anxiety as well, especially as a people pleaser. I would not. Yeah. Skinner.
Yep.
Okay. Favorite paint brand?
Bear.
Same. Definitely love Bear. They're my favorite.
Because you could just get it at the Home Depot.
Yeah. I think Bear is sponsoring Haven as well.
Oh, yeah. They did last year. So they'll probably do it this year, too.
Cool. All right. Call or text?
Text. I will not answer my phone.
Yeah. I always tell people if they want to call me unscheduled, unless it's like, you know, family member or like very close friend, like you better text me with what you plan on calling before. I will not pick up. Like, I don't care if I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. My anxiety will be too high. So.
Yep.
Okay. Most rewarding project of yours so far?
I think I'm gonna say my laundry room, because it's like 99.9% done and I built it from scratch.
It did not
exist, and now there's a room there and I can do laundry in it.
Exactly. There's nothing better than just stepping back at something like that when it's like fully from scratch and you're like, this was not here. I didn't just like rehab it. I built it.
Yep.
I love it. All right. And this is my last one for you. Number one excuse people tell themselves on why they can't start DIYing.
Oh, I think a lot of the times it's the know-how. Like they're like, well, I don't know how to do that. To which I reply, Google. Literally Google everything. Someone just asked me the other day, like, oh, you know, I shared something about how I Photoshop mock-ups and mood boards and all that stuff. And they were like, oh, how do you learn Photoshop stuff? Literally, if you have a question about something, Google it. And there's going to be like 5 YouTube tutorials, a bunch of blog posts. And it's just scrapping it together, figuring it out. Like, anything you need to know how to use your circular saw, watch 5 YouTube, you know, videos about some old dude being like, and this is how you do it safely.
Yeah.
You know, and just do that over and over again until you feel comfortable to get started.
What's really been nice too is that brands have been doubling down on their YouTube channels and stuff and creating tutorials. Like for instance, I use my Wagner paint sprayer. I can't talk. And it has how to set it up, like a 2.5-minute video, super in-depth, by the brand, not some random person.
Right.
And then that has a 2.5-minute video of how to clean it up. And I watch them every time before I do it until I feel comfortable and I can do it on my own. And having the actual brand do it is so helpful. I wish more brands would do it. Like, when I have a circular saw and I have to look up how to change the blade on it, I wish the brand would just have that video ready to go, and even like a QR code on the tool would be so helpful.
Yeah, that hey, tool brands.
Yeah, someone has to figure that
hot
out
tip.
By now.
Hot tip.
Yeah.
In like 20 years, like there's all these dead links on our tools.
Everyone's gonna be like, "What are those?" But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like our kids are like 25 and they're like, what's this weird design? Yeah. Well, son, back in the day.
Oh, man. It's definitely going to happen too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's everything I had for you. Did you have anything that you wanted to bring up that I wasn't able to?
The only thing that I can think of is that I am doing a retreat in September for DIY. You don't have to be DIY, but I have a feeling it'll be mostly DIY content creators, which will be in Alaska. So it's going to be kind of like a mini version of my TV show. So I'm doing this retreat that's going to be focused on like kind of helping you, get your footing in terms of building your brand, the business aspect of all of like what you were saying, it's so all encompassing in terms of you're doing graphic design, you're doing video, you're doing all these different things. You're creating, what is your brand vision? What is your, mission statement, and kind of working through all of that kind of stuff and vision boarding and just getting people kind of excited and kind of like on-ramped to the next phase of their businesses and as a content creator, all in the lovely backdrop of Sitka, Alaska.
That's so cool.
So we'll be doing a lot of also kind of Alaskan-y things. So we'll be going, hopefully, depending on the weather, obviously, Sitka's weather is all over the place.
Is this in the summer?
Well, it's the end of September, so...
Okay, so teetering.
You never know. Never know. I mean, even in the summer, you don't know, but
yeah.
It should be pretty nice. Going kayaking, going boating, it's going to be really fun.
Ooh, and where can people go to find out more? Is it on your website?
It is on my website, yeah.
And it's lizmorrowstudios.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll put it, anyone listening, I will put it in notes on the podcast. Definitely gonna check that out. That sounds really cool. Especially that it's not like just in a city that you would probably ever go to. Like Atlanta, Georgia, yeah. I've been there. I'm sure other people will at least go there in the lodge, stuff like that. But that is an experience on top of the value that you're bringing that is very specific. So that is like a vacation and a conference too.
Yeah. And then if people want, they can stay a little longer or they could hop up to Anchorage and do more or they can go early and then come anyway. So if they want to make a whole Alaskan adventure of it, they can. And
cool. Yeah. And then I have that is Liz's Instagram as well, liz.morrow. You can message her on Instagram. She'll definitely get back to you on that. That's so cool. Awesome. Anything else before we jump off?
I don't am I doing anything else? No, I think that's it. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, that is the epitome of a DIY entrepreneur right there. Literally killing it in all facets. So I'm so blessed to have you on here. I can't wait to hopefully meet you in Haven in Atlanta, Georgia. So again, seriously, thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking out time and out of your day to do episode 7.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Of course. Thanks, Liz. Yet again, another amazing conversation. So thank you to Liz. It's obvious how talented she is across the board, from interior design to DIYing. Definitely go check out her account. She has some really cool things on there. And now that I'm thinking about it, I honestly forgot to ask her a question. She actually did one of her kitchen makeovers in one of her homes for only $652. And if you look at the transformation, you would think she put $15,000 into it. So not only does she have an eye for the design, but she can really do it. She does everything from start to finish, super budget friendly. So really something I aspire to be. And again, the DIY Awards is one of the coolest things out there. Really special in our space. And I hope to see her at the Haven Conference. If you were interested in that, again, this is not like a sponsored thing or anything, but by all means, shoot me a message if you have any questions. I'm learning as well. But again, you don't have to have any sort of follower situation or maximum or minimum amount of followers. If you're interested in doing it, it's all DIY people getting together in Atlanta, Georgia over the summer. So there will be brands there. You'll learn how to grow your account, all the business aspects of it, and everything in between. So that'll be really cool. Thank you again for being here. If you're able to leave a rating of a 4 or a 5, again, as always, I'm not greedy. 3-star and below, you can keep to yourself, because my mama told me anything that you have mean to say, keep it to yourself. So keep those 3 stars and below to yourself. But if you are able to take 17 seconds out of your day to rate a 4 or 5 star, it would mean the world. And yeah, seriously, thank you for being here. I can't wait to bring episode 8. And thank you again to Liz for an amazing episode 7. So thanks again. And until next time.